Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Trust the Tape, episode 46,391, give or take. Jeff Kavanaugh of 105.3 The Fan at JC105.3 on Twitter, alongside my brand new co-host, the great Brian Broaddus, from where? I won't tell you where he's from. There'll be a day, I bet, where I can tell you where he's from, but
we'll
figure
this out.
Right now, it's just former personnel man Brian Broaddus.
Well, I hope that's good enough to be on this show. You know, you're replacing Brugler the way I have to. I better bring some A-game or I'm not going to be on this show very long.
Dane's pretty hard to replace, so I decided if we were going to continue this thing, I was going to find a guy who's running NFL draft. And then I was like, oh my God, Brian!
Wait a minute. Whoa, wait.
Whoa!
Even though it would seem like episode 4,875 ago that I did that, but no... You know, I'm excited about working with you, Jeff. I've worked with you now. It's been our sixth season together doing this stuff. And so I've always felt this way about you, that if I was running a personnel department and I had to hire some scouts, I mentioned Dane Brugler would be one of those guys, but you would be the second guy I would likely hire.
Second?
Yeah.
Behind Dane, just
because
he works harder?
Yeah, because Dane does not cause me as much anxiety as you do. So I don't know why I'm doing this, but I am, because I enjoy draft anxiety with you. How about that? Does that make any sense?
Yeah, Mr. Owner, I want you to know the third round pick, that was Kavanaugh.
Yeah.
Sometimes he's good.
No, I tell you what, though, and again, I think people have figured out, you know, that have listened to Trust the Tape, that you put the work in, you do a great job with studying these players. You know, and I think it's important. I think it's important we all put in the work, you know, and have the platform to be able to talk about these players. You know, and we're not going to agree on all of them. There's going to be some of these trusted tapes where you and I are going to go at it like we would if we were back at the Star or Valley Ranch, wherever we did it. And we'll figure it out, though. We'll get to where it needs to be, because this is important. You know, it's important. Team building is important. It's how your roster looks. It's, you know, always will tell you that good personnel men's or keep their jobs because of good players. Good coaches always keep their jobs because of good players as well. So we need to figure this out.
So we talked about it before we went on air, because the beauty of a podcast is you can do whatever you want.
Yeah.
On Trust the Tape, we can do whatever we want. And the idea is sort of, okay, is this a Cowboys thing? Is this a prospect thing? Is it an NFL draft thing? And I think we're in agreement that we both live in an area where it's Cowboyville, so will be plenty Cowboy-ish.
Sure. Absolutely.
But no matter what NFL team you're a fan of, this podcast will be about the players.
Yeah.
It's going to be about the prospects. Will we talk about pick 17 and 51?
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But we also just want to talk about the players. And for me, at least, it'll be a journey as we get to the draft where, as a listener to Trust the Tape, you'll kind of be following along as we study, because right now I'm probably only 25 players into this thing.
Right.
I plan to be 250 players into this thing, but right now I'm at 25.
I've got you beat by a little bit.
Okay, so
yeah.
I can't.
So you got me along for the right time. Like
right.
You said, I think it's going to be important. You know, you have to have a grasp of what's going on in that first round. But if you know Jeff and I, it's not always about the first round. It's finding guys in that sixth round, finding guys in the seventh round that can come and help your football team win games. And
there's a bigger sense of pride in that for me than
tell
there
me
is.
About
in,
it.
Look,
I mean,
everybody knows who's going in the top 10.
When
we've been doing this and found the Anthony Browns and the Xavier Woods and guys like that, it's like that's where you get some pride. We're like, hey, I had that guy. The NFL waited too long. We had that guy.
Fuakasi, Puna Ford. I mean, those guys.
Andrew Billings.
You know, you got to fight for some guys. I mean, you're going to put in the work and do what you have to do. And, again, that's what really Trust the Tape is all about. It's about taking those eyes, looking at those players, and then kind of putting them in a round where you feel like they need to be taken. Some of these, you're not going to agree with everybody that we like. And that's the great thing about scouting. Plenty of fights with not only with Jeff Kavanaugh, but fights in war rooms with scouts that do this for a living. And, you know, you got to leave it in the war room. You got to have passion for your guys, but you also got to know when to back up a little bit and let the guy have his say. And I don't know how much say I'm going to let Jeff Kavanaugh have in these episodes, but I'm sure going to try and find a way to make it work.
Okay, so where would you like to start? With the guys that you have as first-round players and talking about those guys?
Well, you mentioned about those guys, we could all sit there and talk about the Chase Youngs and the Okudas, from Ohio
State.
Right,
that's easy.
Hey, trust me, as an LSU man, I appreciate we did not have to play Ohio State in that national championship game because, you talk about those guys. But, there's going to be guys like I'm fascinated by the guys like the Isaiah Simmons of Clemson. Talking to some scouts, Jeff, and he very well could be a guy that is gone by the time the Cowboys pick. He's probably
If he's not, I'd take him.
Yeah, exactly.
And then I'd figure it out.
But that's what we need to figure out, though.
Right.
We need to figure out the Isaiah Simmons. CeeDee Lamb. I know you're really, really high on him.
Oh, you mean the top receiver in the draft.
Well, that's what I'm saying, though. Is he going to be the top receiver in the draft? You clearly feel that way right now. And the tape shows outstanding play. Don't get me wrong. But, where does Jerry Jeudy, where do they, in your mind, you're going to say, he's the top receiver because of this.
Right.
And I'll have to turn around and try and argue with you. Well, Jerry Jeudy is just as good because he could do this.
Oh, is this where you want to go?
I'm just setting up folks for how this is going to work.
Right.
You talk about him. You talk about another Alabama kid. How about him, Ruggs? This is going to be a group of guys where I think that position is going to be pretty deep from what I've seen so far.
That's where I started.
And I'm liking what I'm seeing at offensive tackle, by the way. And I know you absolutely despise looking at offensive tackles. So when this discussion I'm going to bully you.
I'm going to bully you on offensive tackles. No, once I dig in there, once I've already watched 180 guys and I start on the tackles.
Yeah.
Because I just look at the tackles and I'm like, I got two of them.
Yeah.
What am I doing here?
Okay.
Yeah, I think the wide receivers are really interesting, and I think it's worth starting there because you throw out a name that, and this is part of how it goes, where Henry Ruggs, Alabama.
Yeah.
Henry Ruggs had 700 receiving yards this year.
Yeah.
Jerry Jeudy and Devontae Smith were both well over 1,000. Devontae goes back to school. Henry Ruggs is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
But he has 700 and something yards. It's like, all right, how are we going to balance this? How are we going to defend the spot that you put him, because I have him as a first rounder. I'm going full Brugler here, where I have.
Are you going some 1-2s on me and stuff like that?
I have CeeDee
Lamb. And I appreciate that. Yeah,
because I think it's important to draw that line. So for instance, for me, let's go to corner just for a second.
Yeah,
Okudah, the Ohio State kid.
Yeah,
that's a first round player. If I have a fifth pick in the draft, I'll take him no problem, and I'll be really happy about it. Christian Fulton at LSU, Trevon Diggs at Alabama. I feel like I need to have a line that separates Okudah.
Don't forget CJ Henderson from Florida. There's somebody you're going to have to go back and look at, because those corners, and what's funny about all those guys, they all wear like number one.
Oh, yeah, that's what's cool.
Fulton wears one. Henderson wears one.
Yeah, so do the receivers.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. You're like, okay, we're going to take your best player away. That guy across from me is a one. Well, I'm wearing number one. I'm going to tell you I'm the best player over here. But, I feel like, though, that there's the depth at wide receiver and the fact that you have a little separation. But with CeeDee Lamb in that group, do you have a lot of separation or a little separation?
I have a little separation. I want to be clear when I'm talking about the wide receivers that, to me, it's kind of like tiering them out.
Right.
My top tier is CeeDee Lamb and Jerry Jeudy.
Right.
The end. The next tier for me
Haven't seen any T. Higgins yet, have you?
I have.
What do you not like about T. Higgins from Clemson?
I've seen 10 receivers. You know how I am with big receivers now. I'm scared of big receivers.
He's 6'3", 205.
I have T. Higgins as
It's not like he's 240 or anything like that.
No.
Hey, wait a minute. That guy in Seattle changed your mind about what those big, remember that big-ass receiver?
No, but man, that dude that was 4'3",
man,
too.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, straight ahead.
We had him as a one, though. Yeah. Do you have T. Higgins as a one?
I do.
I'm at the top of two, where he's my fourth receiver.
Is this the first time I get to call you a coward?
Yeah, you can call me a coward. Yeah, I don't mind. I mean, listen, we're going to run out of ones before the end of the first round, so you could take T. Higgins. Like, I like him.
Brian Edwards from South Carolina?
I have not seen Edwards. I've seen Lamb, Judy, Ruggs, Higgins, Rager, Pittman, Chenault, Ayuk, Hamler, Duvernay.
The Rieger from TCU, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's a guy I need to go study there. I'm hearing a lot of the scouts are kind of buzzing about that cat.
Well, it's kind of the same thing, I think, that elevates Henry Ruggs.
Yeah.
The dude's a blur. He can freaking fly.
Yeah.
So I've got 10 receivers in, and then we had the Mike McCarthy press conference where he was like loving Randall Cobb.
Yeah.
I was like, all right, no more receivers.
No more receivers.
Not happening. And so then I moved over to the defensive line, and I'm dancing around in the secondary.
Cowboys segment then. Would you move on from Amari Cooper and draft one of these cats at 17?
No, because my rule is how do we drop 40? And how we drop 40 is we tag Amari Cooper.
Okay.
If CeeDee Lamb drops to 17, we pick him.
Well, you said CeeDee Lamb's the first receiver.
He's mine. I don't know what the NFL is going to do.
If you think he's the first receiver, what do you think the NFL is going to think about it?
All right, well, then let me riddle this. I tag Amari Cooper.
Okay.
I have Michael Gallup.
Well, you're going to have just line them all up, aren't you?
In my world, Cobb gets a better deal elsewhere.
Bye.
And now I line up Henry Ruggs in the slot.
Okay.
Have fun. If you think you need to double Amari Cooper, I'm going to run Henry Ruggs straight down the middle of this field. And you're going to think twice about it.
For the $30 million that you're going to have to spend or so on Amari Cooper, you wouldn't want to just go ahead and move on from him?
Well, no. Was that a concern for you?
Was that a concern? I know. And now we're doing radio segments here.
Right.
But
it's a curiosity at least, and a concern at the most.
Yeah.
Because
someone kept telling me he's okay. Ice to me didn't look like he was okay.
Right. He didn't seem in the second half of the year like he was healthy. And if somebody would just say that, I'd be like, okay, problem solved.
I know. I had people that I absolutely trust tell me, no, he's healthy. He's healthy. He's healthy. And I'm like, guys, he doesn't look healthy.
Yeah.
He doesn't have that explosiveness. He doesn't have that getaway. But again, another day, another time.
I would love to slap Ruggs or
what about
your guy Jefferson, put him in the slot.
Okay, yeah.
Or KJ Hamler at Penn State.
See, Hamler's another cat I had to look at, too.
Oh, he's tiny, but the dude is open on every play.
Bad ball catcher and all that kind of stuff, plays cold weather,
He's a littler guy, so I don't think you're going to get the big catch radius, but you're going to get the top-end speed. You're going to get the
separation.
Quickness. Corners are like, how do I cover this guy? I can't stay with him off the line.
Those Big Ten corners? I mean, how do you do against Ohio State? Did you watch him against Okuda?
I'll have to get to my notes to see which games I watched, but it's just like his numbers weren't massive, but you just watch him play after play, and you're like, why don't you throw to him on every play? They can't stay in front of this dude.
Yeah.
He's open. And I think a guy like that would be a lot of fun if you got any good outside receivers.
You seen any of the Deebo Samuels out there?
No.
That guy's a man playing. That you were right about that guy. I don't mean to go back to a draft.
Well, he was a super pet cat where it's like, he's kind of a solid route runner, and when he catches it, he gives you hell.
Any of those guys yet? Oh,
maybe,
come on.
Maybe LaVisca Chenault a little bit.
Oh,
because
Colorado,
you're talking about after catch, where it's like, all right, you get him the ball, and then he becomes hell to deal with. Because that was kind of Deebo, where it's like he can catch it contested, and then
he's
tough to bring down.
See, that's what I'm saying. You play Chenault, you play him inside, outside, doesn't matter. But you're right, strong runner with the ball in his hands, man. I mean, I'll tell you what, I like that. He's got a little bit of a sneaky kind of a burst. And when you watch him running, kind of like he's – all of a sudden, it's like, oh, there's a separation right there, and he's making a play.
He doesn't necessarily look like a receiver. It's like a giant running back.
Oh, yeah.
Where it's like,
well, he's 6'2", 224.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a full-grown man out there running around out there.
He's an adult.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. The contested catches, all that stuff was really – I like to the fact the guy's got a little dog, and he'll push off. Get the top of route. He's not afraid to kind of lay the elbow into somebody, and then you see the corner kind of flying out of there.
My sneaky guy who also does that, the guy that I don't think it's enough talk with the top group of receivers is Michael Pittman at USC.
I scouted his old man. Really? Old man was a running back. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, yeah. Like, his old man was a rocked up dude.
He's 6'3", 6'4". Yeah, I don't know what he's going to run in the 40, but all the things that I really like in receivers, he'll cheat, at the top of the route.
Yeah.
He'll high point a ball.
Yeah.
He'll track it like a champion.
Uh-huh.
He moves.
Well, wait a minute. Now, where is he in this pecking order then? Did I miss what you were saying where you had him?
I got him sixth.
Whoa.
He's in the second round. He's in the second round with Rager and Higgins.
Wait, second round?
This is a good group.
You just described a guy that sounds like he's going to be an all. You sound like Debo Samuel.
I don't know how he's going to be as a separator. But I think he's a.
But you like the cheating aspect of him.
He tracks the ball. He can go get it.
Yeah.
100 catches at USC, and nobody's talking about a guy with 100 catches
at USC. And the quarterback situation that was always in flux at USC.
Yeah. Yeah.
Always in flux.
There's a bunch like the Senior Bowl this year. The wide receiver crew.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I can't wait to watch those practices.
Absolutely.
In that game.
Absolutely.
That's gonna be great.
But again, my point is, though, you're okay with trying to get the tag on Amari Cooper if you're a Dallas Cowboy fan.
Yeah, because I feel like I need to be Jerry or Stephen Jones for this, because I need to know exactly what's going on. Like,
right.
Is there an element of things get tough and he's not interested? Mm. Like, what is it that's happening with him? Is it a health thing?
Yeah, we need to figure that out, don't we?
If without knowing that, I can't know. Yeah. So I would just say, well, I know he can play and he's good, so I'll tag him. And I could still draft a guy, and then I could run with all three of them and score 40 a game, and it'd be great. But probably more likely is Randall Cobb comes back and we don't deal with a receiver early, and we have to go looking.
And you got those guys stacked in that second round, right?
Yes, again, every year.
I see what you're doing to your board.
Year.
I see what you're doing to your board.
You see it?
Yeah, I see.
Two first-rounders, a 1-2,
do a terrible podcast right now showing me your board that way.
Well, I'll just make it public.
I know.
People can look at it.
You got them all. Bill Parcells, you say, you got them stacked in there like club sandwiches.
You got to. That's where they go. That's where they all belong.
That's where they all go.
And we'll see how many go in the first.
What's the next most productive position you've done, or what position you kind of working on? I know you said you're just kind of getting started this.
I've done four D tackles.
Okay, let's talk about those cats a little bit, because that's definitely a need for the Dallas Cowboys. Again, if you're a fan of the team, you know that I kind of felt like that the loss, even though he was playing defensive end, you know, Tyron Crawford, and we had this discussion about what happened with DeMarcus Lawrence on the left side.
Right.
What happened? You know, I think the fact that he didn't have any help inside hurt him. You know,
for sure.
The ability not to run the twist stunts, the games. Crawford was a guy that could get him home.
Yeah.
When he was having a little bit of a rough time, not having Crawford in there to penetrate and allow the pick to get, make the pick and to get the looper home, I think affected the way that Lawrence played in this game. So, yeah, I'm with you. If you're a Cowboy fan or your team needs defensive tackles, how are you feeling about this? Now, we need to figure out scheme for Mike Nolan. Is it going to be 3-4? 4-3, you know.
But even if it's 3-4, aren't you playing a 4-2 75% of the game?
Yeah, but have you watched the Patriots play where they play with Danny Shelton right there?
They're kind of unique, though, where they're like, we gave all our money to the secondary. We're going to run five guys up here. So we're
different.
Well,
how about just get some real defensive tackles then? And not let Brian Broaddus have to guess about, Malik Collins is looking good against Zach Martin. No, he means he's going to play really well.
Right.
And then he plays just okay. You know.
Well, the D tackles, and that's like, do we even talk about the three techniques? Because the three techniques, if you're playing 3-4, you're not picking one.
I'm looking at that. I know you probably haven't seen the kid. You haven't seen that kid. I'm looking at the threes. I'm looking at the ones. You talked about it before. I'm sure you've talked about Derek Brown from Auburn.
You can't have him.
Yeah, he's like, okay, you got Okuda up there, the corner from Ohio State.
Yep.
Brown, the defensive tackle from Auburn.
Yep.
Is it like Okuda's going to be the first? Oh wait, Young's going to be the first defensive player picked, right?
Right. Yeah.
Okay. Chase and Young then does Brown overall. In your next group in that next area for you on that?
Yeah.
If you're talking about defensive players,
I think I would go Okuda in front of Brown. But
okay, yeah.
Like Brown's one of those guys that I think is a no doubt first rounder.
Okay, the top three defensive players then on your board would be Young, Okuda, and Brown.
Either Simmons or Brown.
Simmons.
Yeah.
I keep talking about him.
Yeah.
Scout's telling me they're playing an outside linebacker.
Okay. You can play him wherever you want.
Oh, yeah. He just needs to play.
He can blitz. He can run a tackle. He can cover. Yeah. What do you want him to do?
People are asking, is this Darren Woodson?
I'll take Darren Woodson.
No, I love Darren Woodson. But Darren Woodson, when he was at Arizona State, was a 212-pound inside linebacker.
Right.
that could cover in the slot. That another guy from way back in the day, you talk about, could play safety and play a lot of Brian Urlacher at New Mexico.
Yeah,
Brian Urlacher was a safety, a punt returner, a linebacker.
I think Simmons might be a more refined, with more tools in the toolkit than Ryan Shazier.
Oof.
Where Shazier was like hyper athlete, running chase, will linebacker.
Yeah.
And I think Simmons adds in, and I'll pick you off four balls a year. What do you think?
I tell you what, I was worried about him in that national championship game the other night, Jeffrey. You know, like they were good. Joe Burrow was kind of like a loose player, you know, scrambling around, moving. I was worried they were going to put Simmons on him and say, okay, you're not going to run out of the pocket.
Right.
And every time you stay in the pocket, I'm going to run you down.
It kind of worked out early in the
game. Yeah, it did. Like that. Yeah, Brent Venables had a really good game plan, and then all of a sudden it's like LSU
317.
It was crazy. The twist stunts had a lot of problems. Okay, but we're talking about twist stunts. These defensive tackles, though. I mean, I'm looking at these guys and saying, okay, if you're a fan of the Cowboys, or you're a fan of a team that plays the 4-3 and needs a 3 technique or that under tackle,
Kinlaw.
Kinlaw from South Carolina is the first name I think you have to talk about there, right?
I was watching what I could this morning.
Uh-huh.
I don't have coach's film on Kinlaw. I am efforting
it. I saw you reach out to South Carolina.
Yes.
Yeah.
I had to blimp cam Kinlaw and just watch what you can find on the internet.
Right.
For now, I'll get the all 22.
I know you will,
But you can already see that, yes, he's one of those three techniques that when we're looking at them, the
disruptive?
First thing we're looking for is the ability off the snap, beat the man in front of you, pressure the quarterback, blow up run plays, and that's there. And he doesn't get bullied.
Yeah.
So that's what you want in a three technique.
Do you see Brown as the Brown from Auburn as that? Do you see him as a one, or do you
see him as a one plus? Where, like,
I think he could play either one myself.
Right.
When you say plus, I understand what you're saying.
Right. If I had the team I want, I'm probably lining him up at the one, but I'm loving that he can rush the passer.
God, he plays with range.
Yeah.
I mean, he's disruptive. He's up the field. He's, you know. But okay, let me ask you this, though. How much did you like Ed Oliver last year that Buffalo took? I think it was 9th overall last year.
I had him as a one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. And he was kind of the guy that we were all saying. How do you feel about the South Carolina kid? Is he that kind of?
I don't think he's that athletic.
He's not that athletic.
I don't think so.
Yeah.
I think he's athletic for the position. But Ed Oliver was kind of borderline.
Shorter.
He was kind of borderline freak status as far as athleticism.
That's what I remember.
All right, he's not necessarily the prototype build that I want.
Right.
But holy cow!
As a 5'9" quarterback gets taken first overall, and then now we're worried about builds and stuff like that. We shouldn't worry about that anymore, should we?
No,
not quarterback, positions. Any position.
Yeah, I don't think we should worry about builds unless you see
just guys get
it
bullied.
Be a weakness.
Yeah,
right.
Being a weakness. Yeah.
If a corner is 5'10", I don't care.
Yeah.
Are people jumping all over him?
Yeah.
Are they bullying him? Because if the answer is no, okay,
him.
I'll take him.
You don't want to hear about short corners and long arms anymore?
No, I don't. I mean,
you just want to hear about players.
Look, if the corner's 5'7", you can tell me that.
Yeah.
Because 6'3 versus 5'7", I'm going to watch Kyle Rudolph moss all my guys when the Vikings get in the end zone. That's a problem.
They did that. He did that in the playoff game, by the way, against the Saints for the winner.
But if you can play a ball in the air, you're cool. Okuda, by the way, evaluate this statement. We've been doing this for 6 years.
Uh-huh.
Okuda might be the best corner prospect I've watched.
Man,
Marshawn Lattimore.
We've seen some good ones, though. We've seen some
everything looks so easy for him.
Yeah.
Timing the ball is easy. Playing in the air is easy. Covering routes is easy.
You know what? I'd have to, because like you said, there's been so many really good ones.
Ramsey.
That we've seen. Yeah, Ramsey. But, I mean, you talk about it.
He's up there.
Yeah, the range. He can cover ground, like we talk about. He closes on the ball. He's a hard guy to double move. You know, there's so many. The reactions are top shelf with him all the way. He just doesn't allow any space.
Yeah.
I mean, that in this day and age, what do you want your corner to do?
Cover.
Cover. Because the rules are against your corners.
Yeah.
But if you could stay with guys.
Cover without grabbing.
Cover without grabbing and stay in position. And when the ball comes in your direction, either intercept it or knock it down.
He'll do it.
Okuda can do that.
He'll do it.
6'1", 200 pounds. That's a great, great length, great height. great weight for a cornerback like that.
That's the position that I'm going to be working on over the weekend. You already gave me two names that I had down here. Gladney at TCU, CJ Henderson at Florida, AJ Terrell at Clemson. Who bad title game. Jalen Johnson, Utah. Cameron Dantzler, Mississippi State. Bryce Hall, Virginia. AJ Green, Oklahoma.
Oh, no,
State.
You can.
Yada, yada, yada.
I tell you what, this day and age, you better find you some corners.
Yeah,
and
same
and again, if you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys, as you know, Jeff and I are in the market here covering this team.
You need six of them.
Yeah, you're going to need them, and you're going to. Jeff is fighting for a Byron Jones, but there might not be enough money because I can't get him to move on from the receiver to get money and stuff like that. But you know, I feel like though that when you look at this, when you look at this group, but I, you know, defensively overall, I know we're bouncing around. I've looked at this Roquan Davis. When you're talking about one technique, the kid from Alabama, have you seen him at all?
I've seen him live. I've not studied him.
Yeah, and it, to me, this is where I thought that, you know, when Roquan Davis, here's a guy, it's Jeff, 6'6", 315 pounds.
That's kind of lean. That's a big old, I mean, it's not lean.
It's tall, but he looks big on tape. Where's number 99 at Alabama? And here's a guy that, you know, I thought he played better early in the season than he did late. There were some late games where he wasn't as good, and there's a lot of people that really, really like this guy.
Can he use his 6'6"?
Yeah, he's got some power at the point, but I'd like to see him get off those blocks a little quicker. There's times where guys, I mean, LSU got a hold of him, and I know LSU had a lot of good blockers at the guard, tackle, you know, McGee and those guys. But I'm just telling you, though, this, you know, these Alabama guys, we've seen these Alabama defensive linemen come in the league, right? And it's kind of taken a little bit.
Yeah.
It's taken a little bit for them to get going.
I thought Jonathan Allen would be a star.
I did, too.
And he's been solid.
He's been solid.
But I thought he'd be a star.
Exactly, exactly. But see, that's what I'm saying. When the thing with Roquan Davis, when he gets turned, man, he is a bad player. And there's times where he does get turned, and you don't want your 6'6", 315-pound defensive tackle getting turned. You know, and I'm kind of struggling with that, you know. I didn't see a guy that really changed direction all that well. And there's a lot of people are going to love this guy. And a lot of people love him. But when it's always funny. The media scouts love guys early. And then all of a sudden the real scouts start to tell the media scouts, babe, you watch this game. And then it turns into, oh, maybe he's not as good.
Yeah,
you
know, maybe then, Roquan Davis is not a top.
But I'll tell you, another guy looked at, you talking about a one technique, and you know, and we need to see what round, maybe like a second, third round type guy.
Are you going Utah?
Yeah,
I was watching him this morning.
Futo, what did you think about with Futo? He's 6'5", 332 pounds. But, you know, estimated time on him is like a 5.07.
Really?
332 pounds. And if he's a 5.07, he'll probably run in the 5.2s, probably 5.1, you know, something. You know, but you watch him play. This is a massive guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you talk about that outstanding, the quickness, uses his hands really, really well. He controls the blockers. He can hold guys along the line of scrimmage. He's a powerful guy. He doesn't have any pass rush moves.
Right.
You know, my man Futo has no pass rush moves. But what he does is he could push. I watched him against Washington State, USC, BYU, and he was pushing guys back in the pocket. And then when the ball was going to one side or other, he was getting over there and getting in on the play.
Yeah.
You know, so if you're looking for a guy that's a massive guy that could handle that inside gap, but also kind of play with some range, don't let grass grow under his feet, my man Futo from Utah, number 99, is a guy you need to check out. Did you see some?
So I studied the USC game.
Yeah.
And I made the mistake of looking up his stats first.
Yeah,
it's like he doesn't make a lot of tackles. There's a few tackles for loss, but basically no sacks. Yeah. And it's like, oh no. Yeah. But he, you know, he's, I think the bare minimum that he is really hard to move.
Yeah.
So at a bare minimum, he helps your linebackers. Well, and he does. He flashes those kind of snatch and toss a guy.
You'll see.
When he fires off and stays down, he'll bull rush you.
Yeah. No, yeah. I'm saying it's a 332-pound man. We've seen those guys at Utah and stuff. You're like, I'm not sure about this guy. Not a lot of production. But then you just throw on the tape and you're like, oh,
hello.
Okay. And then you watch him. You know, there'll be some plays where you lose track of him. But other than that, though, if you're looking for that 332-pound guy to play inside and be hard to move, that's a guy you need to go on. Have you looked at the safeties?
I have seen a grand total of three safeties.
And you probably have done Davis, Delpit, McKinney?
You got it.
Okay. Ashton Davis is from Cal, right? Then we got Grant Delpit from my LSU Tigers.
Yes, sir.
And then Xavier McKinney from the University of Alabama.
Yes, sir.
And I was kind of curious of where, and these are all guys I think could be like in the free safety variety. I would put them as free safeties first, but you can
You'd
play
put McKinney
down.
As a free safety first?
I would put McKinney as a free safety. I think McKinney from Alabama has got the ability to, I think he could play deep. I really, really do. Because what I really liked about him is you do see him in and out of the box. You know, their games, like I say, Southern Miss, South Carolina, LSU, Auburn, all games where he was going in and out of the box. And I know you like him probably around the line of scrimmage because he'll come forward and he will make tackles. He'll wrap up. He's not afraid to stick his nose in the action. I've seen him jump inside, you know, routes and stuff to defend the ball from where he's at and things like that. So, you know, he's comfortable when he's reading down there. And I feel like, though, if you play him deep, which I've seen him do, if you could read down low, you could read back deep with your eyes. You're playing with your eyes. I want my safety to tackle and play with his eyes. I also want him to get his hands on some footballs.
Yeah.
And I think this guy will do that.
He seems to me the most comfortable, at least as a coverage guy, watching him against LSU and South Carolina.
Yeah.
Even there, I like him better when he's close to the line of scrimmage and he gets hands on the guy.
Right.
Once he gets his hands on you, he's in good shape.
Yeah.
I don't know if I like him as much from further back. I think I like him attacking the line of scrimmage, making plays in the run game,
right,
bumping a tight end off the line if he's going to cover,
right,
stuff like that. Whereas for me, Delpit is more of the natural back deep.
Did you go back and look at that 18 tape?
Yes.
Everybody's telling me that.
Yes.
Did you have to? Tackle better there. See, again, this
tackle better.
15 games of me watching LSU and then saying, make a play. And then I was watching today. I was watching Delpit in the Alabama game. I was watching LSU. But Delpit,
were you watching Fulton? I watched Fulton cover Ruggs in that game.
No,
it was
no,
a nice
Fulton
matchup.
Did a nice job. I was watching, but Delpit comes flying up, and then like the back goes right past him, like he kind of like he was like a hockey goal.
I saw that.
Like he got a kick, like he tried to kick his leg out, like he was in position, and then I was like, what are you doing?
Okay, so I think because I have notes on two plays against Alabama, one against Judy and one against Najee Harris.
Yeah,
where both of them, I feel like Delpit, like he's not
turned
afraid
it down a little bit.
He's not afraid of contact, I don't think.
Okay,
but he wants it to happen where he's planning for it. Like if a receiver's running a slant and he's got a shot,
right,
he's taking the shot.
Yeah.
Like he's not afraid to hit you.
Yeah.
But on those plays, I feel like he's running to the spot.
Uh-huh.
And if they meet him there, he's ready.
Right.
But when they do something different, like he's not the best tackler.
No.
But I think what I like about him is what he shows you in zone coverage to be in control of what is the quarterback trying to do, what are these receivers trying to do, and where am I going to go to make a play on this football. So I think he'll be a turnover guy in the NFL. And so for me, that's the difference. McKinney, probably a more steady player.
Right.
You're not going to miss my tackles.
He's experienced. They're both experienced players. Yeah.
Whereas Delpit, I think maybe I'm getting 4 to 5 picks a year.
Okay. Concern with Delpit and concern with McKinney. Did you feel like there was a lack of speed with either one of those guys?
I would bet.
I mean, did the playing speed bother you with Ed? Because
no,
I think the thing
I was comfortable with both.
Because if you look at estimated time on these guys, and we'll get the verified times here.
I would bet Delpit runs around a 4.5 flat, and McKinney runs in the mid to high 4.5.
Yeah, there you go. 4.60 on McKinney, 4.56 on Delpit. So, you know, and I you know me, I hate numbers, but I think there's some numbers.
And now you're worried about a guy because of numbers. They aren't even real yet. They're estimated.
I'm asking about, did you feel like that those guys played at that speed? On the other hand, that Ashton Davis at Cal is estimated like as a 4.4 guy.
And I texted you and thought he looked slow on tape
there
at first.
There you go. There you go, though. But those are names, like I say, I think you have to keep an eye on.
Ashton Davis. Let's go to Ashton Davis real quick.
Yeah.
Because he's considered for a lot of people, I think, the third safety. He's the third one that I watched.
Yeah, there's some people who probably like him more. I wouldn't be surprised if people talk about. He might be a guy that people are saying that gets a little bit more of a rise.
Okay.
As a level right now, maybe he's a solid 2. Maybe it may be lower to the middle 2, maybe go up a little bit more.
I saw him as more of a
3.4.
No, like a 2 or 3. I think I put him in 3, but because I kind of viewed him as, I don't think I trust him as a single high.
Right.
I don't think he's a box guy, so he's more of a half the field deep safety.
Yeah. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong.
But that's what I saw.
Oh no, yeah, I'm trusting your eyes. I'll fight you on this one. I saw physical toughness with this guy. I did. I saw it with football intelligence. I thought he had a burst. You know, I thought he could cover the necessary ground to get on the play. He had an interception against Oregon, I thought, that was really where he undercut a route.
Yeah.
So, again, I'm talking about—
I wish the quarterback would have thrown it sooner so it would have been a touchdown.
Well, you know, he undercut the route and he made a play on it. But I thought the anticipation was there. I thought the quickness was there. I didn't see a tight-moving guy either. So,
no, but, I didn't like the way he moved, for sure.
But the problem is, he doesn't tackle as well as McKinney. And Delpit, I saw a tackle better in 2018 than he tackled this year. And there's people who say, well, Delpit was dealing with a shoulder injury. I don't know.
And an ankle.
Yeah, well.
To me, I saw him under.
Here I'm with all this LSU gear on, and I'm killing Delpit.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is crazy.
I saw Davis when it's runs that are going to the edge.
Yeah.
I saw him overrun those.
Too much speed?
Multiple
too
times.
Too much range?
Well, it's almost like the Delpit thing where it's like, all right, that's where we're meeting. And then the back's like, no, I'm actually going to change direction. And he's like, oh, no.
I just didn't. The only thing I had a problem with him is he's a low tackler, and he could be hit and miss when doing that.
Got him in two?
I got him in two right now, but I have a feeling that people will start to look at him and say, okay, he's got experience, he's got quickness, he gets his hands on the ball, he can read his keys, he plays with anticipation, other than the fact that you think he overruns every single play he makes.
Did I say every single play?
Well, I think you just
said
that.
When they go outside, I think you tendency to overrun.
I think you just said that. He overruns every single play he makes.
This is how this is going to go this year.
It's going to go that way a lot, I have
all
a
right.
feeling.
Yeah. And which guy did you say that you hate? You said Isaiah Simmons is terrible? Is that what you...
Yeah.
Just some outside linebacker.
Killing some Clemson guy that's going to go in the top five, right?
Yep. Okay, is there anything else you want to hit real quick? Because if not, we're good for the week.
Okay, well, let's talk about something real quick. And
oh, I didn't talk about my other D tackles. Matabike and Gallimore.
I'd love to talk about Gallimore if you want to. Go ahead. I got those guys. It's kind of those three technique guys.
Who do you have ahead of who? Have you watched both of them? Have you done Matabike?
No, just Gallimore. The kid's from Texas A&M,
yes.
Right? And I need to do him.
Yes.
The clip you put on Twitter, and by the way, follow Jeff on Twitter at JC1053. To me, because you do put out clips and stuff like that and kind of your scouting notes, I appreciate
it. Not a ton, but I'll give people a glimpse of the things I like about players.
Yeah. But you showed a guy that attacked the gap and stuff like that.
Yeah, he has that initial quickness.
Yeah, when we get done with this podcast, that's one of my missions, to go and watch this kid play.
Tell you what, I like that the tape matches up well with the production for him.
Yeah.
So he's got, the last 2 years, he had double-digit tackles for loss each of the last 2 years. 5.5 sacks each of the last 2 years.
Right.
And a lot of that's from the nose. Sometimes it's a three-man front, sometimes in a four-man front. He'll play the three, and then he'll play some one.
Do they move him around? Do they try and get him on matchups?
I don't know if it's matchups or down in distance, but they do.
Single jersey, right? Number
52.
Oh, he's 52. 52. Okay, 52.
He's
okay.
52. But yeah, I mean, he flashes power with the first step.
Yeah.
He's got the quickness. He's a good athlete.
Yeah.
He'll get moved backwards a little bit, but the guy Gallimore from
OU
is
knee bend? Knee bend and all that?
I think he plays with good
leverage,
pad level.
Knee bend and all that stuff.
They list him at 6'3", but he almost looks shorter on tape, and I think it's because he plays with good pad.
There you go.
Gets
if you keep your pads down, you got a chance.
Yeah. Yeah. I liked him more than the OU guy Gallimore.
Yeah, I've seen Gallimore too, and I kind of understand. His
production's not there,
right.
But I totally see the three tech traits flashing.
Yeah.
Like the Baylor game, the first two plays of the game, he's an inch away from a sack and an inch away from a tackle for loss.
An almost player.
And I've also watched him make a tackle 50 yards downfield on a quarterback. So his motor runs hot.
I put that in my notes. I think it was the Tech game where they broke a run 20-something yards down the field and he made the tackle.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm thinking,
I just don't like the functional play strength.
Yeah.
I don't like what happens if he doesn't win early.
Yeah. I did see a guy, though, that you know, I saw a guy that could play with some range to the outside. I think that's the one thing that I had to kind of, I said here, I respect the way he's able to finish. And I know you just talked about he got around the pocket and couldn't finish. You know, I need to check that out on him. But I think the thing about him is that I saw a guy that got double teamed, but still found a way to get to the football, you know, and maybe it wasn't always in a tackle, but he was, you know, near the play or could have made the play. I think he's a pretty solid guy. 6'2", 302, probably not ideal right there for that, but, you know, we'll see how that plays out. You mentioned about the quickness, though. I thought he had good initial quickness off the snap.
For sure.
He's going to have to win on that first step For sure. But you haven't seen Marvin Wilson yet from Florida State.
I have not.
Have not seen
him. Put him on the list.
Yeah, 6'4", 318 pounds. Here's another guy, again, that has got some physical toughness to the game. Florida State was just atrocious on defense last year. And this is one of those guys I thought was one of their better players. I mean, he's got some short area quickness to him. Marvin Wilson, I'm talking about from Florida State. He's got a burst to him. He tracks it. He's got range to get outside. He's got acceleration, lateral speed. Love the way he reacts to the football. I didn't see many opportunities where he had to make those change of direction plays, you know, where they get upfield and then they have to come back inside. I didn't see many of that. But the body and control and balance was, I thought, was really, really good. And the power in the upper body strength. You see him throw blockers around. So, Jeff, keep an eye on Marvin Wilson, number 21 from Florida State. I think he could be a three technique that you might like.
And so I shall. That'll be a guy that I'll look at. Well, Brian, welcome to Trust the Tape.
We get to do this again next week?
We're going to do this again next week. We'll be doing this every week.
Every week.
Ideally on Wednesdays, but you never know with the schedule. Yeah. But ideally on Wednesdays. So if you're out there, Spotify. Well, I don't know if it's on Spotify. I've just heard people doing podcasts on Spotify. iTunes, radio.com,
we've got
Stitcher,
a lot of platforms.
Whatever. It's all over the place.
Is
Trust
it?
The Tape is all over the place, and we'll both tweet out links.
Yeah, I hope we can tweet out those links and stuff, too.
Facebook them out. So
yeah.
We're done now. You'll hear this in a few minutes when it gets posted. But welcome back, Trust the Tape, and we will see you guys next week.
Happy scouting, guys.
At Brian brought us on Twitter. Follow him or else.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.